Hello and welcome to The Importance of Staying Earnest, the podcast where we discuss the elements of taking on a career in the arts as a young person in the modern day. So sit down, stand up, grab a tea or something stronger, and come with us on our journey to hopefully help find us some direction in our lives. My name is Harry, and with me is my fellow host and good friend, Emily.
Hello! Yes, I'm Emily, as Harry so beautifully said. And thank you for joining us on our little endeavour to create this podcast. Well, we decided to make it sort of to just kind of share the discussions that we've been having as friends, I guess. Like, as Harry mentioned, we've been friends since primary school. Primary school? Yes, primary school, just about, gosh.
Primary school?
Yeah, year five, unfortunately.
We're old, man.
We're now both sort of graduates of art subjects and looking to sort of forge careers within the arts. And we have lots of friends in similar positions. And we've all sort of realised that when we finished uni, a lot of us felt very alone with what we were doing and a bit unsure. And I think a lot of us realised we would have really liked to have felt like there was more conversation about it. A lot of us maybe didn't realise at the time because we kind of didn't necessarily always open up to our friends. And so, I don't know, I guess me and Harry just wanted to sort of share this conversation, share our experiences, the good, the bad, the weird, the boring, all things in between with you. And thanks for joining us on our journey. Hopefully we can entertain you, maybe even provide you with a bit of insight of what it's like to try and pursue a career in the arts. And yeah, hopefully have a bit of fun at the same time. Harry pitched the idea to me initially. Have you got anything you'd like to add to that?
I think you pretty much summed it up, honestly. It came from the conception of a lot of what I was finding, and what I thoroughly enjoy as well, is a lot of top-down stuff. People who've established themselves a little bit and are able to discuss what they've been through, having made it to some semblance of the other side. Whereas I think there's an interesting amount of stuff that's maybe, for obvious reasons, less talked about. The in-the-trenches style of discussion of what the day-to-day of being at the bottom of the ladder is. And that's a necessary step for everyone, but it feels kind of different going through it than I imagine having gone through it. Mm. And so,
yeah, I think we often hear this story of, you know, this person on some sort of prime time talk show, and they'll discuss, like, you know, oh, I'd been living in this city for so many years and I had 50p left in my bank account and I was just about to move back home with my parents when I got the call to give me my big break, basically. And, you know, you feel quite removed from that when you hear it said from someone who now probably owns several mansions or whatever. And so kind of just sort of like actually hear about what, yeah, like you said, like the day to day of just sort of pursuing things and emailing people and trying to make things happen is very different.
Yeah, and what that's like as well, like not just a repetition of what day-to-day actions are, like I got up and made coffee. It's like, well, what does that kind of mean for people, and what does it mean to push through that? Which I suppose segues into one of the reasons why The Importance of Staying Earnest as a name for the podcast came about, which is that sense of, on good days, it's really easy to kind of go to bed, wake up and say, yep, I'm doing the right thing, I'm pursuing what I want to do. But on the bad days, which are often not some catastrophic failure, but just a day where someone doesn't email you back, or a project is taking more mental strain than you're thinking, or
it can just be a bit of an eh day.
but those are the days that can sometimes you are harder to get through than the days of catastrophic failure, because that level of deflation can sometimes just be, oh, am I doing it? Am I doing the right thing? And those are the days that I think are going to be come across a lot in a lot of the conversations. If you're conversing with me, that's a lot of days that I've had to work my way through. And I'm sure you're the same. But I think that's the reason why there's something to talk about here. And I think hopefully it'll be a little bit fun to listen to as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a bit about another reason why we called it The Importance of Staying Earnest?
Oh, yeah. It's also a bit of an in-joke, so enjoy that. But no, so it's a slight in-joke for the two of us, because the first thing that we both directed, and we actually co-directed it together, was a production of The Importance of Being Earnest, even, while we were still at school. So, yeah, it kind of harks back to sort of where it all started and why we decided that we really liked doing all this. I suppose on that, with this podcast, each week we sort of mentioned we've got lots of friends that are in similar positions to ourselves. And so each week we're going to invite a different friend on to have a chat with us and share their experiences, bring in a different perspective, maybe talk about things that perhaps myself and Harry don't know so much about. But we thought that for this week, we'd keep it as just the two of us so that you guys can get to know who we are, what we're about, what we're interested in. So, where did it all start for us? Like, so we have known each other since school, and that's when we started doing a lot of this sort of thing. I mean, we both sort of came to all this sort of from doing school plays and acting. I don't know what your memories of that are, Harry.
No, well, varied. I don't think it's uncontroversial to say that a joy of you know, creative expression. In our case, it's theatre, for full clarification. In our case, theatre is the big thing that we started out in. Mm. And that comes from school. I go back to, so it was in year six, I think. Obviously, we did Alice in Wonderland in year six.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a throwback.
Looking back on it as an adult, I'm like, an adult. God, that made me feel a little bit, that hurt. you know, it's like, oh, wow, that was some, I thought it was the best thing in the world. And reality is, it was probably, you know, just all right.
Well, hey, while we're at school, I think, you know, we did some great school productions, but they were school productions at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. And it's not about what it is that you output. It's about what you go through in it. And it's like, wow, I really enjoy this. Mm. And that then led on into senior school and all that kind of stuff. And eventually leading up to, was it the last, I think it was like the last thing we did essentially at school was The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah, I think so. We were in sixth
form. I don't think
form.
We were in upper sixth, but I think when we were in upper sixth, neither of us had nearly enough time
devote. We were both very stressed and a bit broken.
So I think The Importance of Being Earnest, I'd like to think that springboarded us into at least wanting to do more stuff like this, which is, you know,
yeah,
what's important. And I, you know, everyone has a similar story, don't they? Right? Like, no one wakes up one day and just assumes they're going to enjoy something. There's always a linchpin
to something.
The bug. And ours just happens to be linked to one another's because we were in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, so I think we often fell into like doing a lot of projects together. We realized fairly early on that we had quite similar interests and such.
Yeah.
So that just sort of happened. And actually I think the true culmination of that was so when we were at school, I did A levels, but actually our school offered both A levels or the IB.
International Baccalaureate.
Yes. So Harry did the IB and I did A-levels, but Harry actually ended up kind of almost getting an AS in drama because he helped me out.
I was the only one in my IB class for theatre, but it meant, naturally, that I was, in order to get some kind of experience with other actors, I was bumped down to the A-level class.
Okay, let's not describe it as being bumped down. That's rude.
I'm sorry, that's poor language on my part.
Because let's, you know, before it sounds like he's pitying on me or something.
No.
So I fell into the trap of when I was choosing my A-levels.
Choosing the wrong ones.
So I ended up switching from physics to drama. You know, that well-known choice. I did that, I think it was about the first half term in to lower sixth. And because of that, the rest of the A-level class had already sort of partnered up for this piece of coursework that they were doing. We had to do these scenes sort of in twos. And I, A, made the group an odd number, so well done me. And B, like I say, they were already all partnered up and it wouldn't have been fair to make anyone have to, you know, sort of start again on their coursework just because I made a poor choice. So yeah, Harry ended up being brought in to...
They threw little old me in there.
Yeah, so we ended up doing that together, which in many ways I think worked in our favour, you know.
I mean, we did all right out of it, you know.
Yeah, we had good fun.
I think we did all right.
I mean, there was the time when you threw a chair across the room.
I mean, but it was justified.
So for context, so because obviously Harry was in essentially a different class to me, we were quite lucky in that we had sort of some of our periods like lined up. But so I had drama like four times a week, something like that. And you had it, say, only like two. And it happened that your two overlapped with mine, but it meant that you obviously weren't there for all of my lessons, which meant that the teachers literally never really saw our work. So when they finally did, let's just say that Harry snapped a bit. I mean, do you want to say what happened?
No. That is not correct. When we went through, how many weeks of rehearsals did we go through, do you reckon?
Oh, I honestly cannot remember.
It was about three or four.
Something like, I mean, and Harry, you've got to remember, this was like 7 years ago now.
Seven? It wasn't seven.
Something like that. I'm sorry to break it to you.
It's like six and a half.
Okay, fair enough.
But we had a pretty solid idea of what the scene looked like. Mm. And obviously we hadn't been seen doing it, and it was when our wonderful teacher came in to give us notes and watch it, it was every line?
Oh no, we didn't get that far.
It was
so the scene it was set it was a Tennessee Williams play that we did, and so it was set in like deep South America, like USA. And the scene was set out on the fire escape, or at least it started out there. And I think, if I remember rightly, my character was already out there and your character had to walk out to join me. And literally every time you took a step to start to walk as if out onto this fire escape, the teacher would go, stop. Okay, Harry, so what was your character's intention there?
Yeah, you'd think it would be a simple direction, right? Well, like, I understand nuance.
And the thing is, you even said, I obviously cannot remember what it was now, but you said, oh, you know, I think this is sort of where my character's head's at, so this is my intention. They're like, okay, go again. So we went again, two steps. Harry, what is your character's intention? You're like, I just told you. And it just kept going. And literally
bearing in mind as well, right? So the kicker to all of this is the reason they grill you, I think, on all of that kind of stuff is that you have to write about it later for the course. I didn't have to do that.
True.
So please.
So you ended up, you didn't throw the chair at the teacher, which I think was a good move. But
no,
you did
all
sort of
very far.
No, I think it was more of just like a kicking it over rather than picking it up and chucking it across the room.
The story's grown legs in your mind since since it's happened.
But at that point, I was like, Harry, let's go. So yeah, we went back into the other room, and yeah, I don't think they saw it again until the performance day.
No,
but hey, it went quite well. So never
it went
mind.
Well. I mean, hey, it's on my CV. put everything on your CV, people.
So yeah, we did quite a few things at school, some of which were more successful than others. Oh God, do you remember the chimes?
Yeah, I remember the chimes. Like the chimes that, again, this is the reverse. So the majority of things I look back on, I go, oh, that was probably worse than I think it is. Whereas the chimes, I think, actually was, we were just not in the position to see it. Mm. So obviously, the director that we had in to do it was very into physical theatre, into Buto, the Japanese Buto, which is all ethereal and mystical and strange, which when you're 15, you just don't get.
Yeah, I don't even know if we were, I think we were like 14 or so. I think we were about year 9. So that's like 13, 14. And I mean, when a director comes into a room and starts telling you to pretend that you're strangling a baby when you're 13, I mean, to be honest, even as an adult, I'd have some questions. But
I think my favorite that's actually really good direction in hindsight.
Yeah.
Is imagine you're smelling with your feet and seeing with your eyes. Thinking about it later, I'm like, damn, that's really cool direction. I kind of want to play around with that. But at 13 years old, I was like, what?
Yeah, no, it didn't go down so well with all of us.
That poor,
most of my memories, to be honest, are all of us, but
I think we bullied her.
I think we found, so like our school was huge. It was sort of school that went from like reception to sixth form. And yeah. I think it was in like the sort of reception playground. There was this sort of like wooden play hut type thing. And because we were there rehearsing on the weekend, don't worry, we didn't actually just like barge into the reception. Like, out of our way, 4 year olds.
Almost did. If given the opportunity, we would have, I think.
Probably. But yeah, most of my memories are us like running away and hiding in there and finding it hilarious. Kids can be cruel.
There was the day that was, it was like 40 degrees in the middle of summer.
Mm.
And we were forced to work for like, I say forced to work. This is the 13-year-old coming out with me again. We were like rehearsing for a number of hours or whatnot. And we came out, we were like, it's breaking child labor laws.
Oh God, we were annoying.
We shouldn't be forced to work. Oh my God, we were so entitled.
Oh dear. But anyway.
Odd segue, I appreciate.
Yeah, so obviously we did all these sort of things at school. And it was when we did The Importance of Being Earnest. I'm going to keep going to call it the wrong thing now we've come up with this podcast name. That was sort of the first time both of us properly tried directing. And I think for both of us, that sort of really stuck. So when we both went off to our separate unis, I mean, we kept in touch. You know, we'd often meet up at Christmases and summers and holidays and whatnot when we were both sort of back at our parents' houses. But, well, for me in particular, I suppose I sort of went on and did more directing at uni. And yeah, we just sort of kind of kept in touch. And I feel like we both kind of realised, we want to do something creative again together at some point. But I mean, I went to University of Manchester and you were at Exeter. So that's quite a big...
It's a bit of a jump to try and, you know, maybe put together a weekend project.
Yeah, just a bit.
In person anyway. But thankfully, in the age of technology that we live in now, we can put together something like this.
Yeah.
Which is hopefully going to keep us ticking over and won't drive us to insanity, meaning it's the last thing we'll ever do together.
Well, we'll see. Time will tell.
Oh, jury's still out on that one. Big time. I don't know if you wanted to talk a bit about uni, actually. Obviously, over the course of the next few episodes, it's going to get drips and drabs of what our experiences were. I didn't know if you wanted to give a brief overview. I don't have much to talk about with my university experience in regards to the arts and drama, only in that my course was very strange.
Mm.
But you've got quite a bit, actually, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose... yeah, so I...
A glittering career, one might say.
I peaked at uni. That was the real thing that happened.
I think I peaked at the Chimes, so...
Oh, God. Okay, well, you know, it could be worse then. Yeah, so while I was at uni, I did various things, both with my... So I did a degree in drama and English literature. So with that, obviously, I did certain bits with the drama side of my degree, but I also did a lot of sort of, I suppose... co-curricular type stuff while I was at uni. I was a member of the Drama Society the whole time I was there. I did some acting in my first year. I didn't start directing again till second year. And I ended up acting in one of my favourite plays ever in a production of Love Song, which it was a brilliant experience.
Good play. Good play.
It's a very good play. Yeah, by Abby Morgan. Do go check it out if you like that sort of thing.
Didn't we study Blood Song?
What?
Probably a different play, sorry. Love Song. Did we study it or did I
think
did
you
I
studied
it?
But I think so it was Frantic Assembly put it on at the National Theatre quite a few years ago now.
I'm pretty sure I've got the DVD as well.
At school they had access to like the National Theatre archive type material. So they did a sort of viewing, I think, for you, but they said we could go watch it if we wanted to, and I did. and it was very good. So yeah, would absolutely recommend checking that out if you like beautiful storytelling.
And good choreography.
Yeah, really, really good. So yeah, I love doing that in first year. And it was sort of, because it was like my ideal play to be a part of in terms of acting, I was a bit like, right, well, where do I go next? And I was like, well, hey, I really enjoyed doing that whole directing thing that we did at school. So why don't I give that another whirl? And I did, and really enjoyed that as well. Did some sort of student written plays. I also ended up directing an opera while I was at uni. That was pretty cool. I also probably simultaneously learnt that I don't think I want to be an opera director, but hey, it's good to know these things.
At least you've crossed that one
well,
off.
Exactly.
You're like, opera, maybe not.
Exactly.
What was that experience like? So what was the, obviously, you know, student drama. I am legitimately interested in this because my student drama experience was quite weird, as I say. What was the kind of, how did you go from, what were the steps like in terms of having to deal with, obviously, weird budgets and student run curriculum, what would be the word, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. So I was often, so I was on the Drama Society committee second and third year, so I was part of the team that was running it, so I suppose that kind of helped create like a level of understanding in terms of why things were the way they were, which meant overall I didn't tend to get too frustrated. Budgets, I kind of really enjoyed working off of not much money. I kind of used it as a means to force myself to get a bit creative, like particularly with sort of set design. I actually ended up really enjoying doing that. So I ended up, for example, one of the plays that I directed was supposed to be set in a supermarket. And then there was also a bit where there was supposed to be like a lorry, and then they were in a post office. Like there were all these sort of different scenes. So yeah, I ended up just getting a load of boxes, like massive cardboard boxes that we got from Whole Foods seller for free. And we painted them almost think like Rubik's Cube style. And so we fitted them together and like wrote different things on different sides of them. And just completely made it a part of the play, and it actually worked really well because we were doing it in like a sort of black box.
Like what? Like beans?
What do you mean?
Or like supermarket? Like what did you write on the side?
So
like
the side that was supposed to be the supermarket. So it was supposed to be in an Aldi, which their colour is blue. So they're all painted blue on one side, and it said it was like bread, eggs, flat. You know that sort
of
stuff
was, like
on
beans.
One side.
Okay, I wasn't completely
And then like the lorry side, I think
beans
that was
on the brain.
Painted, I can't remember what colour now, another colour. And the way that when that sort of scene change happened, the audience could see it, and all the boxes were sort of turned and stacked. And then the very last one, when that was, and they were all like blank other than whatever colour it was, let's say green for the sake of argument. Last one was turned round, it just said lorry on the side of it. I don't know, I just thought it was funny and stupid, and it worked for...
That's my kind of humour, that. Yeah. That is...
The play was a comedy.
That's why we work well together.
So, yeah, and it was a sort of very, like, silly humour. So, yeah, for me, that worked quite well, so that was really fun.
That's dope.
So, yeah.
That's
shoestring budget,
that's the kind of stuff that
work.
I gravitate towards as well.
Even if I had, say, an extra 200 quid to splurge on a bit more, like it still wasn't going to actually then, I don't know, in my mind I suppose that wouldn't have actually necessarily made it any better.
The reason I ask with those kinds of things is my course, I did philosophy and drama in my course, which is a unique course, but the way that the program runs is that I basically did all the academic stuff in drama and none of the practical for the course itself.
Yeah, not ideal. So were you the only one doing your course?
Technically, philosophy and drama, I was the only one in my year for definite.
It seems to be a running theme for you, Harry.
I know, I don't... I mean, I'm destined to be lonely. Aww. In my endeavours. Yeah. The long and short of it meant that a lot of what the student body did was driven by what the drama students did in their courses. That's how they kind of knew each other from anything outside of auditions. There was a couple of, you know, you've got your hyper-talented musical acts, which are like singers and stuff like that, who get in by the fact that they've just got pipes like a god. I had a really bad day, or it was one of a really bad week, where I auditioned and I was so in my own head about auditioning because I didn't really know anyone. I didn't really have anything kind of going on. I was having weird issues in terms of like, am I really going for the right thing? Blah, 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 blah. And I went for this audition and I literally got myself in a headspace of like, I'm not getting any of these. Auditions were all held on the same day. I'm not getting any of these. That was terrible. I'm not going to get anything back. I've had nothing back before, but you know, the kind of thanks for auditioning, but no thanks. I'm not going to get anything. And I checked my phone that evening. I checked my phone that evening for emails and there wasn't anything back. This was on a Friday. And I went, that's it. You know, that's all I've got. Like, that's nothing. Went through the rest of Saturday and then woke up on Sunday, just checked my emails casually Sunday morning. And this was at 11 o'clock. And there was an email there, which is like, oh, we'd like to call you back at 10 o'clock on Sunday. No. And I was like, well, that's just great. Oh. I've thrown myself into a brick wall for nothing but my own brain's sake. And I'm never going to do that again. And so,
hey, there you go. Life lesson. Check your emails, even at the weekend.
Well, yeah, but that, the reason I bring that story up a lot is it's kind of a microcosm of how I was throughout the whole of uni, which is just getting stuck in my own brain about, despite really wanting to do more theater and do more drama, my head was just so just compounding this feeling of, oh, but it's a, you know, anxieties and all this, that and the other, that just meant that I went through pretty much, you know, 3 years of uni with doing not a huge amount other than the degree I was set, which wasn't practical. And so then you pile on the fact that it's been however long it's been since you've done a decent practical project and you're starting to think of what everyone else is doing, and it's just an absolute tornado of just, I'm not doing enough, I'm not doing anything, I can't do anything, how, you know, do I really want to do this? Those are the kinds of, it's just surreal and annoying.
Yeah.
And it took, oddly enough, I suppose it took the pandemic to break me out of that slightly, because I was like, wow, now I can't do anything because no one can do anything, and that sucks more than deciding not to do something, so I should probably try and do things.
Just at the time when it's actually hardest to try and do something, you actually make something happen. This was your idea from
again,
the off, so
very, very on brand for me, actually.
Sounds about right.
If it's not extremely difficult for no reason, I won't pursue it.
Well, I mean, I guess that kind of brings us on to like where we are now. So obviously, like, we both had quite different experiences while we were at uni. And I guess a lot of those you just brought up were things that kind of came up for me when I finished. Like, I know I sort of touched on these ideas earlier. But, yeah, you know, when I was at uni, I was constantly busy. Like, not only was I doing drama society stuff, I also, you know, did my degree. And I also did, like, dance society and just... Well, you've known me for a long time, Harry. You know I'm the sort of person that's not very good at being bored.
Juggling.
So I'm quite good at filling my time. But
Everything. Everything under the sun that you can do, you'll do it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I was also surrounded by, you know, like-minded similar people, which was amazing. And like, I had a great experience. But then everything sort of came a little bit crashing down when I finished. Because I lived, when I had, like, went back to my parents' house because I didn't have a job. I, you know, was then sort of, well, actually, I did have a job. I was working as a waitress at a coffee shop near my parents' house, which I'd been doing as like a holiday job throughout uni and stuff as well. So I was kind of, you know, still working this job that I had been doing on and off since I was like 17, 18. And yeah, I was just back at my parents' house, far away from all of those friends. I had a lot of other friends who, like you, were going back to finish off uni because they'd done a four-year course, or like you took a gap year before starting uni and stuff. And yeah, I just have all these really horribly, disgustingly vivid memories of just basically sitting on this rug that I have in my bedroom at my parents' house. and just feeling so lost and unsure of what to do next. I mean, I think it's quite a big shift when you go from spending the first, what in my case 21, in your case 22 years of our lives in sort of education, even like when obviously for university we chose to go, but nonetheless it all kind of, you know, things were pretty much mapped out for us. Yeah, you know, we like had to take some own initiative to do some of the things that we did do, but you know,
or not in my case.
Well, yeah. But you know, the stuff was there. And it's not that the stuff wasn't there when I then finished uni, but it was like, well, how do I even begin to
do
all of this?
How do you get your foot in the door? Yeah.
Which, since that, so I graduated 2 years ago now? Yes.
2 years ago, 2019.
And so, you know, since then, I have done some stuff. I have made theatre again, and I actually now work in TV. And like all of these crazy things have happened, but it was kind of quite the process to mentally get there more than anything else, I think. And it was mentally exhausting at times. And like I had various friends and people around me who sort of helped push me along when I just kind of just felt a bit swamped by all of it. So I guess one of my hopes for when you suggested this podcast is that if there's anyone who maybe for whatever reason doesn't have those friends to push them along, maybe we can sort of help with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Or at least make people know that it's really normal to feel a bit lost when you're going through that massive change of finishing education, whether that's university, college, school, whatever. You know, it's a big change.
All of a sudden the train tracks end.
Yeah.
And you're still expected to move forward. But obviously it's like, well, in what direction? And the reality is it's kind of any direction you want. But you're going to have to deal with the fact that, you know, it's not prescribed.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, I hope all of you enjoy joining us on our journey to hopefully find some direction ourselves. And you never know, maybe we might even be able to help you find a little bit of direction in your own lives. I know I'm really excited to speak to all of our friends that we've got coming on about their own experiences and what's helped them and how they've been able to find their own paths themselves.
Thank you for listening to The Importance of Staying Earnest. If you want to keep up with us outside the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TIOSE_podcast or on Facebook at The Importance of Staying Earnest Podcast. If you would like to reach out to us, you can find us at TIOSE.podcast@gmail.com. Please drop us a review if you enjoyed, and we'll see you next time.